So here's to all of the good thinkers. And here's to the...
Welcome back to Building the Bakken, and I'm your host, Jason Spies. In our weekly one-on-one feature, we talk with U.S. Senator John Hoeven. Today's interview is brought to you by The Crude Life. When you have a project that requires a crude approach, contact The Crude Life. For more information, email sales@thecrudelife.com. That's sales@thecrudelife.com. When you have a project that requires a crude approach, contact The Crude Life. And now, back to our weekly one-on-one feature with today's interview, U.S. Senator John Hoeven.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers. And here's to stopping and picking flowers. And here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
John Hoeven, U.S. Senate, North Dakota.
First question, natural gas, if you wouldn't mind. We've had a number of significant investments in natural gas. First, a comment on the increased involvement with natural gas in the state of North Dakota.
Well, we're producing huge amounts of natural gas, which really is a byproduct of our drilling for oil. But the key is that we need to be able to capture it rather than flare it and get it to market. And part of that is creating a market for that natural gas. And so I've got legislation from the United States Senate to do that. And ironically, it's not only about jobs, growing the economy, and good for the environment, right, capturing that gas. It's a national security issue for us, but also working with our allies in Europe to counteract what Putin's doing. So this shows the global reach of North Dakota. You and I were just talking about it, but the things we're doing here, they don't just have national ramifications, they have international ramifications in a very meaningful way.
That's interesting you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you about the national perspective of North Dakota natural gas. I was just in Jackson Hole for the Energy Summit out there, and Jerry Moyes, CEO of Swift Transport, 20,000 fleet vehicles. They're converting some of them over to natural gas. He said he would be at 10% this year. He said he's going to be lucky if he's at 1. They're having some engine weight issues and some other things. Stephen Ledbetter, president of Jiffy Lube, they're doing things with liquid natural gas, like instead of oil. They're using liquid natural gas as an oil. Ron Gibson said that there is enough natural gas for it to be a foundation fuel, but sees the definite need for a balanced portfolio. What does the country see as a natural gas? Because there is an abundance of it, and with the exporting laws and everything else.
Well, I think you're really on to something here. You talked about use in automobiles. Let me give you a couple others. For example, we're having a hearing today with the STB on railroads. One of the things that the railroads are looking at doing, matter of fact, BNSF is working on it right now, and we're working with them, and that's to use natural gas to run their locomotives instead of diesel. Again, not only a win in terms of reducing costs using the natural gas, but an environmental win. We're not flaring it, and it's very low emissions. So that's one example. Here's another one, fertilizer. We're working with Senex Harvest States to build a multi-billion dollar fertilizer plant. Right now, that fertilizer has to come all the way from India, and it gets hauled up here, it gets hauled across the ocean on ships, then it gets hauled up into North Dakota on trains. We're at the very end of the line, creating cost and questions about dependability. Think about producing it right here. So we're just barely scratching the surface. We're using ethane for plastics manufacture. I think you're going to see some of that here in our state. We're doing more with gas plants to make sure we have propane. We need propane, obviously, for grain drying and for winter heating. So there's a lot more that can be done, and I think a pretty exciting future with natural gas.
You bring up BNSF, and I wanted to ask you about distribution. We've got the Keystone XL pipeline as potential distribution. We've got trucks on the road. We've got BNSF hauling now crude tankers. For one, is distribution under fire? Because it certainly seems like, listen, you can extract as much energy you want, but you got to have a way to get it to market. And it just seems to me like there is a lot of public relations obstacles for distribution.
No question about it. It's a huge issue. Look at the battles we're having on pipelines. Matter of fact, on September 19th, it'll be the 6th anniversary of trying to get a permit for the Keystone XL pipeline, which would take 500 trucks a day off our western highways. But that's just one example. You can talk about it with electric transmission lines. You can talk about it with railroads. We have got to build the infrastructure in order to continue to build our energy plan for America, which means not only being energy secure in this country, but working with our allies, continuing to build our economy. We've got to have an infrastructure plan to make it happen, and that's what you're getting at, and that's why we've got to find ways to be able to site these pipelines, these transmission lines, to get more rail, roads, all of the above. You've got to have the distribution system as part of your energy plan.
BNSF recently, well, they're in the middle of a $5 billion campaign. I sat in a briefing from Matt Rose, as did you, and he went through the different departments. And I actually, when I left, I felt like I just left a meeting that my son's going to read about in history class, to be perfectly honest. The amount of investment going into the rail system is remarkable. Yet, it's not enough, it doesn't seem. So where are we at with the rail? Because that is a remarkable investment by BNSF.
So understand that $5 billion investment is for BNSF this year. That's just this year. They're going to continue to invest because they have growth. It's most acute here, 44% growth here, yeah. But they have growth around the country. But in addition, there's a logistics issues. And this goes back to the question you just asked a minute ago. For example, getting through places like Chicago, mm-hmm. Minneapolis, St. Paul, and other parts of the country, we've got real logistic issues. So it's both the investment in track out here, but also infrastructure in and around these bottlenecks to make sure they can deliver this product, because this product goes nationally and internationally.
It kind of reminds me of what's going on in North Dakota, where they're investing extreme amounts of money into infrastructure here. And it's just a timing issue. It just seems to me like a lot of this stuff will be worked out. But then I see that you guys are pressing Canadian Pacific for more rail cars. Is there does there need to be more rail cars out there? Because the $5 billion is a very large investment. So do we need to invest more into the rail?
Absolutely. In North Dakota, BNSF will invest $400 million into rail this year. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem. The reason we're having this hearing today with STB is CP has talked about, $150 million investment over the next year, but they haven't put out a specific plan. We need to see a specific plan, and we've got to have, that investment. We need the capacity. We need the rail. You also have to distinguish in the near term, in terms of surge capacity, what the railroads can do is bring people, cars, and locomotives to bear. Longer term, to build capacity so you're not back in this situation, that's where you need more track.
And that was U.S. Senator John Hoeven. To listen to the entire interview, visit our website at www.buildingthebakken.com. Today's interview is brought to you by The Crude Life. When you have a project that requires a crude approach, contact The Crude Life. For more information, email sales@thecrudelife.com. That's sales@thecrudelife.com. When you have a project that requires a crude approach, contact The Crude Life.
I was tourism director when we were the least visited state in the country. And I remember Eric Severide, a famous North Dakota broadcaster who made big time in CBS, once called North Dakota his home state, the rectangular blank spot in the nation's mind. And what's so funny is today it's the rectangular stage under the nation's spotlight because everybody's curious about North Dakota.
It's a cold draft laying low to the floor. Blankets on the couch trying to keep me warm. Well, that's just part of living here.
No, thank God the heater works.
Snow's falling and starting to blow. Season drifting up on my front door. Well, life slows down at a few below.
There's nothing better than finding oil on your own land.
But I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know.
The social and those kind of pressures, the financial pressures of being 18 and making a lot of money with, minimal support system. It's interesting.
So bright was shining with the marquee sign. A frozen cobblestone reflects the night.
We're very fond of the Parks and Rec in Williston.
Yes, the bright was shining with the marquee sign. Frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Small city, it's a big time life.
Watford City will be the boom town.
Walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking
with the people that I know.
Obviously, North Dakota and the Bakken Formation are world famous.
Spinning, I'm greener. I hope my car starts when I go.
I brought my twin daughters back during Christmas, and I showed them where we used to drag Maine and how everything was different, and actually where we turn around is now turned into a couple of dancing clubs, if you will, at the end of Maine.
The car's dead, you know, the windows froze. I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too far away.
What's your plan this next week? I'm going to retrofit my truck, get a bunch of lobsters, and drive to North Dakota, right? Everyone's like, you're crazy. And he sold out in an afternoon.
On my way back home. Because I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know.
I'm the gal that runs the pizza ranch here in town. She figured there might be hungry folks up there at school, and all of a sudden here she shows up with 30 or 40 pizzas and pop. I mean, it was just right out of the goodness of her heart.
I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know.
But we live this every day. My kids go to school with the kids whose parents are in this industry. We go to church with these guys. We see them all day, every day.
I hope my car starts when I go.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energyservices.com.